call to order the meeting of the Berkeley Lakes City Council and note for the voice record that this is June the 19th, 2025, and that we have a quorum of City Council members. We have our City Administrator, our City Attorney, 8 members of the public here tonight. Do I hear a motion regarding the agenda as it has been presented?
I'd like to make a motion to accept the agenda as submitted.
Do I hear a second?
I second that motion.
Okay. Barbara moves and Scott seconds. Any discussion? All in favor? Thank you. That's unanimous. We have no public hearings tonight, but our consent agenda denotes 3 different items. The first is May 15th council meeting's minutes. The second is the work session for that night. And the third one is financial statements from April 2025, unaudited. Council already having had the chance to review all of those, do I hear a motion regarding the consent agenda?
I make a motion to approve all items on the consent agenda.
Do I hear a second?
I second the motion.
Okay. Scott moves and Chip seconds. Any discussion? All in favor?
Oh, I second the motion.
Thank you. All right. All in favor? Good. Okay. Our old business tonight is regarding our council chamber's audiovisual upgrades, and Lee has worked really hard with some good help to get us to this point. Lee, would you talk to us about that, please?
Yes, ma'am. Last month, this item was continued to get further clarification regarding the aesthetic impacts of the proposed audiovisual upgrades, and it's my understanding that the aesthetic concerns have been addressed. Mm-hmm. At least to the extent that we discussed in work session earlier.
Yeah.
There may still need to be some modifications made at some point, but I think everybody's prepared to move forward at this time. The proposed upgrades will provide better presentation opportunities to applicants, consultants, and staff. This should reduce reliance on paper agenda packets, which benefits the environment and reduces staff time and packet assembly. Additionally, it will provide for a uniform display of information to be seen by all in council meeting attendance for a better experience. The project is anticipated to be funded by SPLOST. We did discuss in work session adding a 5% contingency, if you will, or just a not-to-exceed amount. We bumped it up a little bit. So the new amount that I'm asking for you to authorize for the project is $32,025. And we'll just ask for a motion on the proposal.
$32,025.
Okay. Do I hear such a motion?
Yes, I'd like to make a motion to accept the proposal from Interactive Automation for council room presentation at a cost not to exceed $32,025, subject to approval by the city attorney.
Okay. Do I hear a second?
I'd like to second the motion.
Okay. Chip moves. Barbara seconds. Any discussion? All in favor? Thank you. New business, Lee, if you'll talk to us, please, about the stormwater project.
Yes, ma'am. The 2025 stormwater project consists primarily of repairs to stormwater infrastructure in Miramont, pursuant to last year's MS4 inspections, as well as other locations identified by staff based on observation or citizen complaint. The project was put out to bid in accordance with state law. Bids were open on May 13th. The city engineer recommends awarding the bid to Cajun Construction and Rehab Services, Inc., in the amount of $299,816. He further recommends approval of a contingency in the amount of 10% of the project cost for a total of $329,780. The project is anticipated to be funded by SPLOST. Staff requests that the council authorize the mayor to enter into a contract with Cajun Construction and Rehab Services, Inc., subject to the city attorney's approval as to form.
Do I hear such a motion?
I'd like to make a motion to authorize the mayor to enter into a contract for the 2025 stormwater project with Cajun Construction and Rehab Services, Inc., in the amount of $299,816, subject to approval as to form by the city attorney, and to further authorize a contingency in the amount of $29,982.
Do I hear a second?
I second that motion.
Okay. Barbara moves and Scott seconds. Any discussion? All in favor? Thank you. That's unanimous. We have a zoning ordinance amendment related to walls and fences. Lee?
Yes, ma'am. Following a citizen request for the fencing standards to be revised to mitigate adverse impacts of deer, staff prepared this amendment, which increases the maximum fence height in side and rear yards to 8 feet and removes time limits on temporary fencing for gardens. The Planning and Zoning Commission recommended approval on June 10th, and it is on for first read consideration tonight. Staff requests that you place the measure on first read and call for a public hearing to be held at 8 p.m. on July 17th.
Do I hear such a motion?
I make a motion to place O-25-258 in ordinance to amend section 78-111, walls and fences, to repeal conflicting ordinances, to provide for an effective date and for other purposes on first read, and to call for a public hearing to be held on the amendment at 8 p.m. on July 17th, 2025.
Do I hear a second?
Yes, I second the motion.
Scott moves and Chip seconds. Any discussion? All in favor? Thank you. That's unanimous. Our last item of business tonight is a sad one for me and I think for all of us. Rodney Hammond has recently let me know that he feels the need to retire from his seat on the City Council. Rodney has always taken his responsibilities very seriously, and in consultation with his beloved Andrita, he will now lessen his workload on city matters to find more time for his family. This is not good news for any of us on the council or the city staff who have worked with Rodney, for we hate to lose him. His commitments and contributions to our city stretch back for years and are truly unique and unparalleled. Rodney served for years as the outstanding leader of our Planning and Zoning Commission after having served on the Berkeley Lake Homeowners Association board for many years also. The Planning and Zoning Commission was a very challenging responsibility, and after that, Rodney moved on for many years as a city council member. However, what is really remarkable about his contribution is that he actually changed the geographical boundaries of our city. Years ago, when I wanted to diversify our tax base by adding more business and commercial properties and giving us more control over nearby areas that could affect our homes, our lake, and our green space, I knew that this would be a hugely difficult task. I asked three men whom I respected and trusted to reach out one by one to nearby business and property owners to make the case for their annexation into our city. Those men were Tom Kitchens, Dick Lackey, and Rodney Hammond. We owe them all a huge debt, and they will be forever remembered in our city's history as changing its actual boundaries and character. Rodney, with all his different avenues of service to Berkeley Lake, is simply irreplaceable, and I will be forever grateful. According to our city charter, a vacancy must be filled by council appointment until such time that an election is held for the vacated seat. Rodney's term was set to expire at the end of this year, so his at-large seat will be filled at the November 4th general election. Until that time, the council has agreed to appoint Risa Meckling to serve out the remainder of Rodney's term. Please join me in warmly welcoming Risa. Do I hear a motion regarding the appointment as discussed?
I'd like to make a motion to appoint Risa Meckling to serve the unexpired term of Rodney Hammond.
Do I hear a second?
I second that motion.
Barbara moves and Scott seconds. Any discussion? All in favor? Thank you. I would like to present to Rodney a token of our appreciation, and I will place this up here on the dais for all of you to see. It says, in recognition and sincere appreciation of Rodney Hammond for your years of outstanding service to the City of Berkeley Lake and its citizens. Having served on the City Council from 2014 to 2025, the Planning and Zoning Commission from 2004 to 2013, and in various other ways whenever he was asked, as I described a few of those. Thank you, Rodney.
Thank you.
Here, we'll put this right here and we'll take a picture of you in a minute. How about that?
Okay.
All right. Do we have public comments tonight?
Are we swearing her in now? Would that be now?
Yeah.
Yeah. Can I just interrupt you before public comments? Can we go ahead and
Certainly.
Swear Risa in? Okay.
Yes. Okay.
I'm just going to ask you to lie, and then I'll read the rest.
All right.
To start.
I,
Risa McLean,
do solemnly swear that I will well and truly perform the duties of council member of the City of Berkeley Lake, Georgia, and that I will support and defend the charter thereof as well as the Constitution and laws of the State of Georgia and of the United States of America. I do further solemnly swear and affirm that I'm not the holder of any unaccounted for public money due this state or any political subdivision or authority thereof, that I am not the holder of any office of trust under the government of the United States, any other state, or any foreign state, which by the laws of the State of Georgia I am prohibited from holding, that I am otherwise qualified to hold said office according to the Constitution and laws of the State of Georgia, and that I will support the Constitution of the United States and of this state. Do you so swear? So help you God.
Yes.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Thank you, Risa. All right. Do I hear any public comments? Susan
Hansen, 3755 North Berkeley Lake Road. And I commend the council of considering raising the height of fencing in the backyard, side and backyard. But that will not really help the overpopulation of deer. So I want the council to consider and start working toward that problem and joining with Peachtree Corners, which has a committee working on it, that I think it'd be very important for us to work with them. And hopefully we can get other cities to work in the same thing. All right. Thank you.
Do you have a specific proposal for the city?
I do not, but we are working on it. But the real problem is we have an overpopulation of deer.
Is there something specifically you're looking for the city to do or authorize?
A way to reduce the population of deer in the city.
Specifically?
I think that is inappropriate for me to say, but with...
What action are you looking for us to take?
I want you to think positively about the importance of reducing the deer population.
Do you understand that wildlife management is not a function of the city?
If it's not a problem function of the city council, who is responsible for wildlife in the city?
It is a state function.
The state of Georgia?
Wildlife Division, Department of Natural Resources.
And they do have recommendations for reducing the deer population.
There was an extensive meeting over at Pinckneyville, and they went through all the different ways to reduce the number of deer, including habitat mitigation, fencing, repellents, et cetera. So all the information is provided out there.
Could I interrupt and say that I believe Susan's part of a group that has worked hard to come up with a survey, And I, so far as I know, y'all haven't seen the results of that.
Maybe we have not had a meeting to discuss that. But the problem is, and the DNR did say at that meeting that our most valuable asset, as far as I'm concerned, is the green space. That is a very important part of our city. And they stated that it is no longer, it's going towards a biological disaster because there's no food there for the deer.
Wait, so which problem is it that we're trying to address?
The
growth in the green space or the deer?
The deer who are eating the growth in the green space.
I go through the green space on a regular basis. Andy's there at least 3 or 4 times a week. There are no deer in the green space now.
Yes, because they have eaten everything that's there. They do not go there to eat because everything that was there for them to eat is gone because of the overpopulation of deer in our city. So that's just what the person from the DNR said. There's no food for them there, so now it is eating in our yards. And putting fencing in the backyard will protect people's backyard, but I do not think we want to have fencing in everybody's front yard.
Right?
No.
That's not a solution.
Well, I was just hoping that that you would have a chance to review that information and perhaps be able to answer the kind of questions Scott's asking.
Okay. Well, I want you to think about and have in your minds that something has to be done. I know the thing from Peachtree Corners is they said no action is not a good solution.
So let me see if I can use an analogy here.
Okay.
There's a creature here in Berkeley Lake. Not every problem in Berkeley Lake is a problem for the city to solve. So there is an abundance of mosquitoes in Berkeley Lake. The other evening, my grandson had so many mosquito bites on him, they had to take him to an urgent care because he's bitten completely over by mosquitoes. I can't go out at night to walk the dog without slathering myself in repellent. I would love to be able to walk around without protection. I used to sit on my back porch, but I had to have it enclosed and had to put screens around it. So there are other municipalities that recognize mosquitoes as a problem. What do? They spray insecticide. So
if you spray insecticide at night, which the mosquitoes are mostly out, you do not harm the pollinators that are out in the daytime. And so I do know of some places that spray for mosquitoes at night. I would suggest that you look in your yard, your neighbor's yards, because the mosquitoes breed in water, stagnant water.
Right. So some individuals hire Mosquito Joe to come and spray their mosquitoes, and they were told that unless people on the left and right of you and all the people around you also spray, that it's not going to do you any good. So would you be in favor of the city paying to have all the mosquitoes sprayed throughout the city? Would that be a city function?
It could be. It could be. And if that is done, if it's done at night, if it's done at night when mosquitoes are out, that is good. It is not the all the people that I are the companies that I know that spray for mosquitoes individually, they
right.
spray in the daytime.
Right. Is it a taxpayer function to have my yard sprayed for mosquitoes?
It would not be for your yard if we wanted to do the whole city.
You think the taxpayers should pay?
I don't know that because I'm just one. I do not spray for mosquitoes in my yard. I do try to keep all the stagnant water out. Gutters are in my yard. Gutters are a problem, but I don't think I can. I don't think that I'm equipped to make that decision for the city, but I do think I am equipped to make the decision that the overpopulation of deer is very important and that it needs to be addressed. I don't think we can do it individually. I think it has to be done as a group.
I was just using mosquitoes as an analogy. There has been a proposal, or at least it's been floated out there, that the city should use taxpayer money to have deer killed on private property. I want to see if we can agree on a number of things. Killing a certain number of deer would be a temporary resolution. Would you agree that it would be temporary?
I think we need to have a proposal that that the deer need, it's not a one-year thing. It's this year, next year. It's I don't know. It's if it's forever, I don't know. But it's certainly not 1 year.
Right. So it is temporary. Okay.
One, yes.
Okay. And you understand that a reduction is just partial. So it would just be a portion of the deer. So if you came in and said, what percentage of deer reduction would you think would be appropriate? 30%? 40%? 50%?
I would think that's something for the DNR. I will tell you, in my yard, and I can only speak for my yard, 5 years ago, I did not have deer in my front yard in the daytime. Last year, I had 5 deer in my yard, an unusual thing. This year, I have as many as 10 or 15 in my yard in the daytime.
I understand. So would 7 be the right number to have there? 5? How many deer would you
have? I would prefer not to have. I mean, it's bad for, it's, my opinion is bad for the deer to be out in the daytime. They are nocturnal creatures and they have become so used to this thing that they're not afraid of humans anymore. They are, you know, they are a problem. People do slow down for them, that sort of thing. But I would like for the city council to think about that something needs to, a program needs to be in place to reduce the number of deer in our city.
Forever. I mean,
forever. Forever.
Yeah.
Unless, or like 10 years ago, I never saw deer in the daytime. I'm sure we had deer, but they were at night and they really didn't do that much harm. But, if you, you know, I think, I don't know how many we have, but I'm sure there are 30 on my side of the lake. I don't know about your side of the lake.
So again, we're talking about using taxpayer money.
Yes. Well, I don't know. Taxpayer money or allowing the culling of deer in the city.
Allowing?
Allowing.
And who would be doing this?
I don't know. The city, I think, has the authority.
Who would be actually...
Who would pay for it?
Who would be killing the deer?
I don't know. That's something to be discussed and decided.
You have a deer management committee. Have you all done any research?
No. We're trying to get people to realize that it is a huge problem and needs to be addressed.
I think everyone's aware that it is a huge problem. It is absolutely a huge problem.
And would you agree that something needs to be done?
I believe it's a huge problem. It's nationwide. It's caused by habitat destruction.
But can we? What the only thing that we can control is our city. We cannot control the state of Georgia.
We can't control habitat reduction. I think I sent you an article that said the way to keep the deer from coming is quit planting things that the deer like to eat.
Well, the other thing is the deer like to eat. It depends on how hungry they are. I have plants in my yard that I had planted 5 years ago. They did not bother at all. Now they eat them then. The other thing is the plants that we plant need to be plants that help the environment. Native plants for the environment. And there are some plants that you can plant that the deer will not eat, but they are not good for the city. They are invasive non-natives. and they will not, you know, they do not promote the rest of the wildlife for the city.
Okay. So I think the city could get behind a program of encouraging people to plant native plants, for encouraging ways in which to protect native plants. We talked about perhaps even fencing a section of the green space for a native plant garden. I think as long as we're moving in the direction of restoring habitat and native plants, I think that's a direction we can all move towards.
Yes, but it's very difficult.
I know.
To say that you will fence it in and restore the native plants that we have had.
I think we would work towards restoring plants. And you could welcome to work with the Conservancy to look at restoring plants in the green space. I think all that is positive. Native plants, we're all moving in the same direction. We all want the same thing.
Well, I will say last year we planted monarch butterflies, which is sort of a thing that is big now. And there used to be lots of them there. And we can't do the whole thing. We can do a little bit.
Yeah.
We planted milkweed for the monarch butterflies in this pollinator garden out here.
Mm-hmm.
The deer ate it.
So then if you don't plant it, the deer won't come.
Well, if we can't get it to grow, then we can't promote monarch butterflies.
Right. So the question is, are we looking towards restoring native plants and restoring undergrowth in the green space? Yes, we would like to help with that.
Can we? Yeah.
Yeah, sorry.
Thank you, Susan.
Okay.
I just hated for you to...
Well, I'm very strong on the environment. You know, this is this is what we have.
Yeah, I think all of us feel that way. I truly do, and I hope you'll continue to. I don't mean to shut y'all down.
No,
but I
just,
think we've.
I just wanted to wind up this discussion and let y'all continue it at another time, if
okay.
we can, because I want to. I want to take pictures of Rodney. And
yes.
So, thank you for your comments.
You.
Do we have any?
My name is Sue Swanson.
Yeah.
And
address.
Pardon me.
Address.
845 Lakeshore.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And to your question about research, we have done some research. And are planning a bigger lit review because some of your questions are evidence-based. So they're in studies where they have already controlled deer. But I'm not going to that. Okay. So I was thinking about the fencing and came up with pros, cons, and a few questions. And there's some obvious pros that it might keep deer out of backyards. And today I heard side yards, too. So that's... kind of a good thing, because those fences might help us create little islands where understory can rejuvenate over some time, and whereas Susan is all about the environment, I'm all about the animals, although I already told you I'd shoot every deer in my yard, but the other animals that can no longer live here and in my yard, so the fences may help us to create islands of restored, and this would be after a while, restored understory, and then maybe some of the animals can come back. I think that's a really good pro of this. But it is only little islands. but it's a positive thing. And it might help people plant and keep their gardens and reap the benefits of those gardens. So then I thought of some cons. I have read in some of that research that deer can jump 10 feet. So I just want to put it out there that 8 feet may not be high enough. And then one of the questions is, what happens if 8 feet isn't? I mean, I think we will see that pretty quickly. I know there's a retaining wall, and I put up 4 foot of fence, and a deer did jump that. So, but he hit the fence, and then Yeah, and then another fence caught his feet in some other, but that was only 4 foot.
Right, that's 4 foot.
But anyway, one of the cons may be that deer can jump 10 feet. It has been documented. So 8 feet may not be enough. Okay, just something to think about. The front yards, you know, those of us who live on the hill on Lakeshore, 3/4 of my yard is my front yard. Mm-hmm. 20 deer at a time are in there, mm-hmm. although I have a 3-step behavior modification that's worked quite well. So I'm down to get out, and they'll start jumping in other people's yards. Anyway, but there are a few other steps that got them to that point. The front yards are huge on the hill, so most of my land and all of my son is in the front yard. And the follow-up question to that is, what about that area? I have no understory there. I have, you know, I mean, I heard about the temporary fencing for right. gardens. You're not talking about temporary fencing for the entire front yard, right?
I mean, part of this is aesthetics. And what, I mean, I didn't just pick these numbers out of thin air or these rules.
Right.
I looked at other cities and looked at what was standard. And 8 feet is what I saw as the height. I can do a more thorough search of that, but I honestly, you know, I think we've been talking about a multiple different issues, and I don't think there's going to be a way to protect everybody's yard from the deer. I don't think.
I don't think there is either. But so, if most of the property is in the front yard, it seems a reasonable question to
well,
ask.
Well, you could have we're trying to do. I don't know what your goals are in your own front yard. If it's to have a garden, you can have temporary fencing around your garden in your front yard.
Oh, it's to protect the understory.
If it's to protect the entire front yard,
yeah.
Then I don't think that having a temporary fence around your property border is what, that is not the intent of this code.
No, it doesn't seem to be. So that's what raised the question. It's for backyards only.
And side yards.
But I just want to voice the opinion that some of us have 3/4 of our property in the front yard. Mm-hmm. So that doesn't help. I can have a tiny island in the backyard, and I'm thankful for that when it gets to that point. But most of my property is the front yard, and I'm not the only one. So that's just another issue. And I can send you the documentation on 10 feet.
I believe you.
Okay.
I'm not disputing the science right. behind that. I'm just based on what standards I have seen in other cities. That's what people
okay.
have landed
And I'm
on.
Just raising the point or the issue. Go ahead.
I think it has to do not only with the height of the fence, but also the size of the area that's fenced. Because I know personally of some small gardens in the city that the fence is not even close to 8 feet. But because the garden is small, the deer won't jump into
exactly.
a prison.
Right.
So there's a combination of things. Height is not, a catch-all that fixes everything. It has to do with the size of the garden and a lot more than just the height of the fence.
Right. But we're talking about 8-foot fencing of a backyard. The point being that the deer don't jump in the backyard. I happen to think it will work. But I'm just voicing the opinion that I have read stuff that says that they can jump 10 feet. So we'll see what happens, and whatever happens, happens. That's fine. I just want to say, go ahead.
Hang on just 1 second. Our custom and our written rule is that comments are to be limited to 2 minutes.
Okay.
And if they need to be longer, which we welcome, we need you to send them to us in writing in advance so
okay.
everybody can have it.
Okay, sorry.
So that we don't go on and on, and we don't even remember some of it as well as we would if it were in writing. So if you can...
I can send it to you.
That would be good.
I can send. But let me just mention one more thing. If everyone does the 8-foot fence, there is the chance that more deer could end up in the green space and there could be further devastation there. I don't think it's going to happen because then everyone's going to do 8-foot fence, but theoretically that's an outcome, an undesirable outcome. Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you
much.
For the fencing.
Thank you.
Yes. Okay. Anybody else? Okay. Hearing no additional comments, I would entertain a motion for adjournment.
I'd like to make a motion to adjourn.
All right. Do I hear a second?
I second it.
All in favor? Thank you. We are adjourned. And I would like